First of all, I received an email from Father Jack Ratschmidt, who was here last week at the beginning of the Advent Mission, to thank me and to thank all the parishioners for your kind hospitality and to thank all those who were able to make it to the mission at the beginning of the week. He certainly enjoyed his visit with our parish. He enjoyed his time in Vilplet. And as he said, he left here 5 pounds heavier, but he left happy. That's the important thing. So thank you all for your kindness and your hospitality. A few weeks ago, on the 8th of December, we celebrated the great feast of Mary's Immaculate Conception. And we call to mind on that day the great goodness of God in that he preserved Mary from the stain of original sin as she had been chosen by him to be the mother of his Son, our Savior and Messiah. Not something that God had to do, but something he wanted to do out of his goodness. Mary was able to keep her free will, obviously. Her will was always ordered toward the good and choosing the good things of God. But she also had the freedom to give herself as she did as the servant of the Lord. And it's because of Mary's obedience to God, because of her love for God, that the Holy Spirit was able to come upon her and the power of the Most High overshadow her, and from her would be born Christ, who came to bring us salvation. It's written in the Psalms where it says, Lord, you have prepared a body for me, and a body the Lord prepared for Christ, a body the Lord prepared for us. One of the great things about church history is that we can see where human beings can tend to fail God and create some pretty bad errors and create some pretty bad mistakes. All the untruths that have come up in Christianity can focus on two things. Either an overemphasis on the divinity of Christ or an overemphasis on his humanity. When we overemphasize his divinity, we begin to see God as so far removed from us that we could never, ever be like him. In fact, we can never even conceive of what God looks like. Therefore, imagery should have no place in our churches. When we begin to purge churches of statues or icons and so on, we begin to think only of spiritual things and think that material things are tainted and can't do any good, that our works are horrible, that we ourselves are horrible people, and that God himself really almost can't do anything with us. On the opposite extreme, if we focus only on the humanity of Jesus, we say, well, he's a guy just like us, which is true. But then we begin to say that, so it doesn't really matter what we do because God's love is always there, so we can kind of be best pals with Jesus and never worry about changing our lives because he loves us as we are. Many of these things are true. However, there's got to be a balance struck between them. As we say every time we have benediction and pray the divine praises, blessed be Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man. And that's the beauty of the incarnation, is that the divine, everlasting Son of God, who is God, transcendent and far removed, becomes Emmanuel, meaning God who is with us. But there's a purpose in that. Why does God, in his goodness, condescend to come among us and become one like us in all things but sin, if not to change and transform us and our world and make us part of God himself? Christ has come to unite humanity to divinity, to unite us to God. Having been lost through sin, we are to be restored through grace. As the fathers of the church put it so beautifully, the Son of God willed to become a son of man so that you and I, the sons and daughters of men, could be in truth and in fact sons and daughters of God. The presence of God in us, the presence of God in our world, the presence of God in his body, the church, makes things new. Beautiful words of Christ in Revelation, behold, I make all things new. The world now reflects the glory of God. For once separate, God has now joined us to himself, and we'll see its fulfillment when Christ returns to banish sin and death and to bring about paradise as God intended from the very beginning. What about the here and now? Even though that time has not yet come, we still have the presence of Christ with us. We know that the Lord is present sacramentally in the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle. We know that the Lord is present in his body, the church, in the sacred scriptures, in every person made in the image and likeness of God. The presence of Christ is there. The question is, do we acknowledge that? Do we see the presence of Christ in ourselves and every person? Do we sense the presence of Christ in every situation? Do we come before the Lord with awe in His presence to worship and adore Him? That's the beauty of the Incarnation, that God draws us into His very life and sanctifies us and makes us holy. But we have to, like Mary, give of ourselves completely by a free act of the will. By a free act of the will. In a few moments, as I present the bread and wine to the Lord in the offertory prayer, you're going to hear me say, "May the Holy Spirit, O Lord, sanctify these gifts laid upon your altar, just as He filled with His power the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary to bring forth Christ our Lord." And what is it that we place on the altar? Bread and wine. You see that every Sunday. But what about ourselves? To place our lives with the bread and wine. Our hopes, our dreams, our desires, our aspirations, our desires, the good, even the bad, to give everything to the Father through Christ so that the bad can be taken away and transformed, sins be forgiven, and we receive the fullness of grace as we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ Himself. To remove everything that keeps us from being united to God, and Christ gives Himself to unite Himself to us. The question is, are we just receiving the Eucharist as we do so routinely without thinking about that? Or are we consciously, willingly giving ourselves to the One who consciously, willingly, and lovingly gave Himself to us? All of this by the great power of the Holy Spirit, as we ask Him to sanctify these gifts, even ourselves, our lives, as we lay everything on the altar, just as He filled with His power the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary to bring forth Christ our Lord. And that is what you and I have been called by God the Father to do, to bring forth Christ wherever we are, wherever we find ourselves, whatever we're doing. We are bringing forth the presence of Jesus Christ. Prophet Isaiah, in speaking of this great moment, said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, that is, God with us." The world needs to know the presence of God. The world needs to know the love of God, the mercy of God, the truth of God. And who else is going to bring it to the world except us? That's our job. That's our duty. Begun by Christ and given to us. St. Luke, Mary says, "Behold, I am the servant. I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." That's the same thing that we are supposed to do. To respond, saying, "Lord, I am your servant, let it be done to me according to your word. I give myself and submit completely to your will." We saw in the letter to the Hebrews this morning where Christ said it first. And so we say it too. And when we say it with Christ, we become transformed. And what Christ said is, "Sacrifices and offerings, holocausts and sin offerings, O Lord, you neither desired nor delighted in. But behold, I come to do your will." St. Augustine tells us it's exactly what we have to do. Have a full consent of the will to want to be saints, to want to be holy, to want to be like Christ. If we don't care, nothing happens. If we do care, something does. And St. Thérèse of Lisieux said it so beautifully, that we cannot be just half a saint. We either are or we aren't. Jesus said that too, that whoever is not with Him is against Him. But we have to be fully, totally committed, saying, "I will live the Christian life. I will allow Christ to live in me and through me, to act in me, to bring His presence through me." It's by that will, the will of Christ and our will in accepting and doing His will, that we have been consecrated to God. Consecrated to God through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. We become living tabernacles in the world by the power of the Spirit. Christ willed to obey the Father. He willed to do this. And St. Paul, commenting on this, says that in the New Testament, even though Jesus is God, He did not see His divinity, He did not see His equality with the Father as something to cling to. But instead, out of love, He emptied Himself and took the form of a slave, being born in our likeness. St. Paul says that Christ became like us in every way except sin. There's nothing you and I experience that Jesus did not allow himself to experience first. He knew tiredness and he knew rest. He knew hunger and he knew thirst. He knew being fulfilled. He laughed. He cried. Jesus experienced everything you and I experience. Why? Because he wanted to. To transform our experience and make it something holy. The one thing Christ did not do, of course, was to sin. Well, of course not. He's God. That wouldn't happen. But he did will to take our sins upon himself, to bring everything to the cross, to suffer, die, and rise, to transform us, to free us by that act of surrender to the Father, to restore us to grace, to restore us to the image of God that we lose through sin, to be made new. Christ became like us so that we could become like him. Yes, he became human. He became weak and vulnerable. But he does this out of humility. He willed it, obediently accepting this death on the cross. But because of this, because of what he willed through loving obedience to the Father, God would raise him from the dead, making him supreme over all things, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bend. The knees of every man, woman, and child, from every nation, every race, every people, every language, from the saints in heaven to the holy souls in purgatory to us on earth, even down to the frightened souls in hell, that every knee would tremble and bend in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth, and every voice proclaim to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what we need to remember. That Christ is Lord, and we have been called to proclaim that and to give ourselves freely and completely to him. Christ willed this in love. Mary willed this in love. Now, being human, I understand that sometimes there are some people that we just don't like. There are some people that's just hard to get along with. Sometimes we just don't feel like doing something good for somebody else. Sometimes we even feel like just being bad. Just because of the thrill, and do something that we know we shouldn't do, of course we always regret it later when we don't do the good and we end up doing the bad. But we can change. By ourselves we can do nothing, but we can do all things in Christ who gives us the strength. So what do we do, you and me? The Father is calling us. The Father is begging us, like Mary, to be his servants, to lay aside our pride, and to will to serve him, to serve one another, to be holy, but to do all this in love, to allow Christ to be made present so that others can come to know him, that others can come to experience him through us, through our love, our kindness, our compassion, our faithfulness, our holiness. We can't do this simply out of a forced obedience in some way. It can only come from a willing and loving heart. If you don't have it yet, pray for it. God will give it to you. It begins sometimes by forced obedience, but then becomes an act of love. We ask him, as the psalm itself prayed this morning, Lord, make us turn to you. Let us see your face, and we shall be saved. The Lord, our Creator, willed that his word, his Son, should become a man and take flesh from a spotless, ever-virgin womb. May he look with us, or with favor on us. And by the Virgin Mother's prayers, may he keep us from sin, that his only begotten Son, having taken to himself our humanity, may be pleased to grant us a share in his everlasting divinity.